and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 12. Second Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, hear now the inspired word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Let's pray. Father, once again, as we look into your word, we would simply ask that you'd be pleased to bless it. We pray, Father, that you would bless it to the building up of your church, to the encouragement of the saints, that, Father, that sinners might be converted, that you would receive glory, and that, Father, that the name of Christ would be exalted in this place today. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A famous comedian was lamenting on television about his son who had become an accomplished collegiate athlete. And he talked about all the hours he spent with him, teaching him the fundamentals of the game of football, and the countless hours of drilling and throwing the ball and catching the ball and passing and doing all of those things. And then he spoke of the sacrifices that he made to give his son all the benefits that he needed to succeed in the world of college sports. The big day came and his team was playing an away game, and it was to be televised, the very first time that his son would be seen playing football on television. And he spoke of seeing the thrill of seeing his son running and catching and doing all of these amazing things that the college football players can do. And his son performed extremely well. And then came the time at the conclusion of the game, he was selected by one of the sportscasters to be interviewed. And he did well in answering all the questions that were posed to him. And the proud dad was sitting watching this with his wife. And just before they signed off the interview being over, his son looks at his camera and he says, "Hi, Mom." He says, "What about me?" He says, "What did Mom do for all of..." He says, "I'm the one who got him into the football. I did all of these things." Now, of course, this was, in fact, a comedy routine. But there was certainly an element of truth in it. You know that every time you see cameras panning people, what do they say? "Hi, Mom." Why is that? Because regardless of what we do as dads, and as important a position as we have and what we do, there's always a special place in our heart for Mom. And you know that to be true. So let me say this at this point, Happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are sitting out there. This is your day. The day that America sets aside to honor our mothers. It's the day that everyone's heart turns to their mother. And you know, and while society in general is tearing down the role of mother, very few people will speak out against motherhood. Motherhood is equated with being as American as apple pie and baseball. And being a good mother is important in our society. And in fact, even though our society is undermining the role of mothers, to be accused of being a poor mother is to be put on a par with being an Al Capone or even a serial murderer. A number of years ago, the daughter of a very famous actress wrote a book called Mommy Dearest. And the book is a behind-the-scenes look at this famous family, the actress who was not married, and she adopted this little girl. And she made a big fuss in front of the camera, inviting the cameras into her birthday parties and her pool parties and all of these things, and showered this little girl with gifts. This little girl had all the material things anyone could want. However, in the book, the daughter details the cruelty and the lack of love and the lack of compassion that she actually received. And it appears from the book that the adoption was more a stunt to improve the image of the actress than for the benefit of this little girl. You know, everyone likes the idea of a good mother. And when it appears the opposite is true, we react. Society reacts. Remember, it was a few years ago when a mother and father left their kids alone and went on vacation. They went down to the South Caribbean, I think. And it was national news for weeks to come. The whole nation was aghast at the actions of this couple leaving these young children home. And rightly so. This is not the behavior that is expected from parents, let alone a mother. So moms, as we begin today, let me just ask you a question. What kind of a mother are you? Who best typifies your style of mothering? Let me put it another way. What thoughts do you have of your own mother? You know, I remember a Ziggy cartoon. I love Ziggy cartoons. And Ziggy was sitting at a table, and the sign out front said, Mom's Diner. And standing next to him was an elderly lady with gray hair, pulled back into a bunch. She had a certain look. She says, now, young man, you don't get dessert unless you finish your vegetables. I can tell you how many times I heard that myself. If you're a mom, how will your children remember you? And these are important questions because the role of motherhood is so important. You know, there's an old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. In other words, moms will have a great impact on the world. And you know, history has shown us to be true. Great men have constantly admitted that their mothers were the biggest influence in their lives. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of 100 years ago, said, all that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. Theodore Roosevelt, one of the greatest presidents that we had in these United States, said this, when all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. So says Theodore Roosevelt. You know, the Bible also asserts the importance and the impact of motherhood. Our text this morning, and I'm just using this one verse as a starting point, and it's 2 Timothy 1:5, which we read a few moments ago. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, and he says this, For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Paul later in the same epistle talks to Timothy and tells him that he knows that he was taught the scriptures by his mother and his grandmother. You see, there can be no question that Paul viewed Timothy's mother and grandmother as playing an important part in his spiritual development. The Bible addresses how we should treat our mothers and what part they should play in our lives. And of course, we're all familiar with the passages referring to honor your mother, both in the Old and the New Testament. But do we really understand and put into practice the biblical teaching on this important topic? So this morning, I've decided to revisit what we've looked about in the past, 14 years now, I think we've been here. And in most of those years, we preached a Mother's Day message. And so what I've decided to do is to take a composite and try to pull a bunch of these thoughts together to give us a biblical view of what it means to be a mother. You know, the first thing that I want to address, though, to put it into perspective, is to understand that there are basically two radically wrong views of what it means to be a mother. There are some very radical views of the role that a woman should play in society. And while articulating the honoring of motherhood by having holidays such as today, our society has undermined the respect for motherhood and the importance that motherhood actually plays in our society. If you were to poll our culture on the topic of motherhood, I think you would be surprised at the variety of opinions you'd get. You see, there's not only no consensus of the role of a mother, but there are these radical views on both extremes. On the one side, we have radical feminism. And the feminist view, they view the traditional and the biblical role of a mother as something to be delivered from. They would have you believe that there is no essential difference between the sexes, just biological. And so, therefore, there's no difference in the role they play in society and the family. Fathers and mothers have the same responsibility, same impact in raising children. And if they could have their way, they would share the carrying of the baby for those 9 months. Well, I guess a number of you ladies would like to do that as well, wouldn't you? Maybe that's not so far off. But the feminist views to seek to abolish any distinction between men and women, and therefore motherhood becomes basically meaningless, except giving birth. And they would say that women have been held slaves by men for generations, and they must break free from this bondage. Which brings us to the other extreme, and that's radical chauvinism. And in this view, women are clearly seen as inferior to men in all areas of life. And their function is to serve the male population. And to keep women from stepping out of line, you simply keep her pregnant in the summer and barefoot in the winter. This view of women is what the feminist movement is reacting against. And let's be honest. Any student of history must agree that there have been times and still have nations today where women are treated basically as slaves or chattel or property. Now, neither of these views is biblical. But interestingly enough, both of these views have a lot in common. Both relegate motherhood to basically being only a biological function. Mom is merely a child birthing machine. They both functionally deny the importance and impact of a mother on her child. The feminist denies the importance of being a mother and seeks fulfillment in a career as being far superior to motherhood. And children can be a hindrance to her career and to her fulfillment. She may even say things like, "I want to be more than just a mother." Their goal is equality with men. And in their quest, they demean and put down anyone who advocates the biblical role of motherhood. They view a woman who desires to be a wife and a mother, and that only, as a threat to quote, the cause, unquote. Now, radical chauvinism ends up in the same place, but all for different reasons. Women are just viewed as inferior, so all they are good for is really having babies and serving mankind. They will take care of the male children only until they get old enough to be taught by the men, and then the men will teach them the important things. Notice that in each of these extremes, the influence of mom on her child is minimized or even discounted. And seemingly contradictory and opposite positions wind up in the same place. Now, these are the extreme positions, and we must recognize that there are many mediating positions between the extremes. And I don't want to characterize everybody into these two extremes. That would be dishonest. But unfortunately, many Christians also minimize the importance of motherhood. Now, of course, no Christian would ever say that. And their theology doesn't say that. And their preachers would never say that. But in practice, functionally, they live as though motherhood was not important. And they are more influenced by the philosophy of the world than the teaching of the Word of God. The clear teaching of Scripture is rationalized, relativized, culturized to the extent that it becomes meaningless in theory and useless in practical life. Much of the Christian church today functions as though society understands life better than the Word of God does. And that's especially true when it comes to motherhood. Now, listen carefully. Whenever the biblical teaching is put aside on any subject and the world's view is adopted, truth gives way to error. If you are more strict than the Bible, you're in error. If you're more lenient than the Bible, you are in error. If your view on motherhood is any different from God's word, then you have fallen into error, and error begets more error. You see, we all have a standard for what we think motherhood should be like. The question is, what is your standard? Your mom? The television sitcom moms? Who's to say? Well, we as Christians do have a standard, and it's the doctrine of motherhood. And believe me, there is a doctrine of motherhood as taught in the Scriptures. So what does the Bible teach about mom? Actually, a couple of years ago, I preached a message and I called it Momology, because there is a theology of mom. And I'm not going to preach this whole thing. I just want to summarize this because it's such an important thing. And we need to understand this. This is what the Bible teaches. Moms, women in general, but moms in particular, are image bearers of God, just as men are. Notice that in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, when God is revealing to Moses what happened, it says, "Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea." And then later on he says, "And God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." Both male and female are created in God's image. That means that men and women are essentially equal. They're not the same. Each one reflects the image of God in a unique way. And both are important. But equality is not sameness. We also see in that same portion of Scripture that both men and women are to exercise dominion. Men, don't think for one minute that it's only you that exercises dominion over this world. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." And he's talking to them, and he says, "You are to rule over the birds of the sea, the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, and every living creature." Both men and women receive that mandate. But there's no question that in matters of church business and family order that the woman is to be in submission to the man. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 11:3. "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ." There is an order, but there is an equality. We've also seen in previous messages how biblical submission is not a demeaning thing. And a woman being in submission to her husband is demonstrated in the same way that Jesus Christ was in submission to his heavenly Father. And that is one of the ways in which she reflects the image of God. And we've also seen how the woman is a picture of the church of Jesus Christ. We see that in the wedding ceremony. Just think of how we recognize that in the wedding ceremony, we see the man standing as Christ and the woman standing as the church, and the intimacy of that relationship. It is the most beautiful of all relationships. And that's one of the reasons why God places such a high view on marriage. Because of that relationship. If you're a husband and wife, you need to understand, you are reflecting the view to the world of what Christ does for his church, how Christ loves his church, and that beautiful, unique relationship. And only the wife can do that. And then the next thing that we see is the uniqueness of the role of a woman. In Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. It is only the woman who can help the man accomplish the purposes of God. In God's providence and in his omniscience, he decreed that it was necessary to create the woman, this very unique being, to accomplish his purpose. And in God's mandate to procreate and to propagate the human race, the woman is essential. The role as a mother is implicit in that mandate. But we need to understand something. God did not create women for purely biological reasons. Because if you think of it this way, if all he needed was to procreate, God could have made men like amoeba. We just divide ourselves and keep on going. God could have done that very easily. But no. When he says that it wasn't good for the man to be alone and he was a helper suitable for him, the mandate went much, much deeper. Father and mother are necessary for spiritual reasons, not just biological reasons. And the impact of a mom on her children is unbelievable. And man can't supersede that. You know what? We read a little bit earlier. Let's talk about that. The impact that mothers have. Look at what Paul says again. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And Paul says, I am sure that it is in you as well. Paul shows the impact of a godly mother and a godly grandmother on Timothy. We find many examples in the Scripture showing the impact of godly mothers on their children. You know, the one that comes to mind first every time I think of this is Hannah, godly Hannah, who prayed fervently for his son and then gave him up completely for service to God. But what an impact she had on the young boy, because even after she gave him up to the temple, just if you go back and read how she was constantly up there, constantly praying for him, and constantly ministering to this young boy, Samuel, who grew up to be one of the greatest prophets in all of Israel. Think of godly Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, and her dialogue that she had with Mary. And of course, the description of Mary in the Gospels. You know, sometimes we who are Reformed and have broken from the Catholic teaching, sometimes I think we move too far back from Mary. Now again, oh, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that she's a co-mediatrix or redeemer. No, nothing like that. But Mary plays such an important role in the life of Christ. You can't read the Scriptures without seeing Mary, 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 Mary. Because she was his mother. And in that role, she was crucial to the physical ministry of Christ on this earth. And look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Hail, favored one. The Lord is with you. And in verse 38, And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. After the angel had given her this mind-blowing prophecy, "You're going to have a baby. It's going to be God's son." What does she say? "Behold, I'm your bondslave. Let it be done to me according to your word." God chose the mother of his son carefully. But you know, the impact of mothers is not always positive. Some mothers impact their children in a negative way. I think of Samson's mother, who indulged him, couldn't say no. He saw a woman who pleased him and told his mother and father to get him, and they did. Samson was self-centered and self-indulged, and he suffered and died in the end. Mom, indulging your child is not showing them love. You know, I hope you're beginning to see the picture. There's a plan that God has for mothers, and just how important this really is. You know, it's no wonder then that Satan should attack the role of mom so viciously. He recognizes that if he can get rid of biblical mothers, he is making some serious inroads into the kingdom of God. So what do you do as a mother? Well, first, let me give you some suggestions here. First, develop a biblical theology of motherhood. You know, you may have a tremendous mother, but you need to even examine your own mother in light of Scripture and change, because we're all human. And we need to do things according to the Scriptures. We need to have a biblical worldview. We need to understand how mothering fits into all of God's plan. And if you really understand your role as a mother in the whole of God's purpose and plan, you'll not so easily be swayed to accept the philosophy of this world. You'll understand that when the world says, "You've come a long way, baby," it means you've come a long way from the truth. It also means that you need to understand theology. And boy, if I can get one point across to you, Mom, today, you need to understand theology. And I don't mean a superficial, "God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life" theology. I mean a nuts and bolts understanding of what God is doing in this universe. God didn't just give the Bible to men, to theologians sitting in ivy towers. God gave the Bible to everyone. And moms, you're included. God gave His Holy Spirit to all who are born again. That means you have the ability to understand even the deep things of God. Second, develop biblical character. Now, of course, we can look at Proverbs 31, Titus 2, among others. And these are important for giving you the specifics in your relationships to your husband, your children, and other women in the church. But the general teaching of Scripture to all Christians applies to mothers in their specific roles. The Beatitudes describe the character of a biblical mother, as does the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. Mom, in the sphere that God has given you, you are to be salt and light. And that in your own home first. How do you apply the commandments and discipline in your home? Is your religion, is it an external ritual, or is it a religion from your heart? Are you imparting that heart religion to your children? Do you practice your religion as an example to your children? Praying, fasting, giving to the needy. Is your home characterized by seeking righteousness first, or are there other priorities? Do you say all the right things, but your children see who you really are? Mom, is your home built on a rock? See, this is where biblical mothering starts, is building it on the rock of Jesus Christ. Third, you need to develop biblical wisdom. It's not good enough to have biblical knowledge. You must be able to put it into practice. That's where a study in Proverbs comes in. Mom, I would encourage you to be fully versed in the book of Proverbs. You have children. You need every verse in Proverbs in your arsenal. Raising children is tough, and especially in this day and age, is it not? And we have in our arsenal the book of Proverbs, which God has given us, to give us wisdom. Proverbs is meant to give you that wisdom. It's the ability to handle life with skill. And then once you have developed this wisdom, then you can pass that on to your children. That is the message in the book of Proverbs. Mothers and fathers instructing their children in wisdom and knowledge of the Lord by example and lifestyle as well as by instruction. Well, then what about the rest of us? Well, for the rest of us, we're told to honor your mother. We must all adopt the biblical view of motherhood. You know, it's crucial to the life of the family as well as the life of the church. You know, families are failing at an alarming rate in the church. I'm not talking about the rest of the world, but in the church, families are failing at an alarming rate. And much has to do with wrong thinking on the role of mom and dad. And there's much strife over that. The Bible has such a high view of motherhood that we must accept the standard of Scripture. And we must put all our thinking into a biblical mindset and practice. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is a lesson in practical Christianity. It's taking the truth of Scripture and living it day in and day out. So we can honor our moms when we encourage them to live according to the Word of God. We honor our mothers when we treat them as the Word of God demands that we do. You know, if we look, those of us here who have mothers, I think that's all of us. We need to evaluate how we treat our mothers. And I'm not just talking about the kids who are still living home. But I'm talking about all of us. How do we treat these precious women that God has put in our lives? The ones who nurtured us, the ones who gave us life. You know, the role of mom is one of the toughest in the world. She needs all the encouragement she can get. You know, in the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother, that things may go well with you, that you may live a long life. This is crucial for the life of the church that we treat our mothers in this way. So let me ask you, what's your standard for a mom? I'll date myself here. June Cleaver. Is it a television sitcom, Mom? You know, there's a danger even in trying to follow the example of what society calls a good mother. You know, think of some of the sitcom moms that you've seen who you'd say, oh, yeah, they're good mothers. Did you ever see them sit with their children and read the Scriptures? Did you ever see them coming out of the room with a Bible tucked under their arm, having spent some precious time alone with their Lord? You see, the big question is, when is the church going to stop letting Hollywood and Madison Avenue set the standard for life? When is the church going to stop trying to look like the world and become the salt and the light that it's called to be? And Mom, today, this is your day. And we've given you some admonitions, but hopefully the admonitions have been gentle and encouraging. They were not meant to be harsh. But there are some serious questions. Are you going to be what the Bible says you should be? What God desires you to be? If you're not satisfied with your role as a mom, then you'll never find satisfaction anywhere else either. Men, how have you been treating your wives? Have you made her feel special or like one of the servants? Children, do you have proper respect for your mom? Remember that she stands in God's place for you. You know, Mom, God has given you a very unique role in His kingdom. It's a highly exalted role. It is a role that is absolutely crucial. It's a role that is designed specifically for you, and nobody else can fill your shoes. It's an important one, and often a thankless one. So remember the words of Paul. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God has called you to the task. He will give you all the strength you need to accomplish it. And so you need to learn the secrets of being content, and God will reward you. I want to close with two final points. And the first is this. If you notice that the hymns we sang today were all about grace. And I chose those hymns because, Mom, even though I've been challenging you today to strive and whatnot, it's all of grace. You need to submit to God's grace. The only way to be saved is by God's grace. And while I didn't particularly give a, quote, a gospel message this morning, I would encourage everyone here to examine your own lives in light of what the Scripture teaches. How have you treated your own mothers? How have you treated your wives? Perhaps you haven't treated them well because maybe you're not a child of God. I would encourage you today, because I know that probably the number one desire of your mom's heart is to see it come to Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you that if you haven't before, repent of your sin. Come to know Jesus Christ. And then one last point. I've been talking about the importance of the role of a mother. He said, well, maybe that's just your opinion, Pastor Jensen. How important is the role of a mother? I want to read something to you from the Scripture. This is in John chapter 19. This is the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 25, listen carefully to the words of John. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. From that hour the disciple took her into his own household. Did you get what's going on? Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross. Without exaggeration, the most important event in the history of mankind. Jesus Christ was atoning for the sins of all his people. And in that hour, in his agony, in his physical agony on that cross, while he's hanging there, with the weight, literally the weight of the world on his shoulders, he looks at his mother and he turns to John and says, Take care of my mother. Take care of my mother. How important did Jesus say the role of a mother was? When in that hour, he remembered her and commended him into the disciple that he loved. How do we treat our mothers? Can it compare to Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we do bow before you, and we stand in awe that here Jesus Christ, your own Son, submitted himself to be born of a human being and then loved this woman so much that even in the hour that he came to accomplish, he thought of her and was concerned about her well-being. Father, give us the same view for our mothers, for our wives. Father, thank you for the gift of these godly women that you have given to us. Help us to treat them in the way that Christ treated his mother. We are so grateful, Father, for the salvation you've given to us and also for the example that we have in Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.